Picture that super soft t-shirt you love sleeping in. The one that gets softer and softer the more you wear it. Now you can bring that same lived-in softness to your entire bed with Signature Vintage Wash Sheets from Boll & Branch. This all-new collection is even softer than your favorite t-shirt, with a distinctly relaxed look and feel for your best night's sleep. Just like all Boll & Branch bedding, Signature Vintage Wash Sheets start with the highest quality, 100% organic cotton. The lived-in and feel comes from a small batch washing process, creating a level of softness you've never felt before. And it's not just the feel. Boll & Branch mastered the laid-back aesthetic using a special technique that creates the well-loved look you'll find with vintage jeans. And true to the Boll & Branch hallmark, Signature Vintage Wash Sheets get softer and softer with every wash. Right now, you can get 15% off your first order with promo code ODYSSEY and save on their most relaxing sheets. So head to BollAndBranch.com today. That's B-O-L-L and Branch.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
The Valero Alamo Bowl is San Antonio's holiday tradition, and we have two outstanding programs and coaches like we do every year, but this year, our 30th anniversary, is truly special, so we're very, very blessed to have you guys here. Thank you very much. On behalf of the Valero Alamo Bowl, I'd like to welcome Coach Sarkisian and Coach DeBoer to San Antonio. Congratulations to both of you on your successful seasons, and we appreciate you bringing your teams and excited fan bases to San Antonio, and oh, by the way, for scheduling to be here today, because we know it's a very crazy, crazy time, so thank you for making time for us. So first, let me introduce to you the Texas head coach, Steve Sarkisian. In Coach Sarkisian's second year leading the Longhorns, they finished with an 8-4 record, number 20 ranking in a balanced attack, ranking in the top 20 in points per game and top 30 in points allowed per game. This is his first bowl game with Texas, but his second time playing in the Valero Alamo Bowl. His 2011 Washington Husky team scored 56 points, the second highest total in points history. Coach Sarkisian, on behalf of the Valero Alamo Bowl, we're thrilled to welcome you and the Longhorns to San Antonio for the first time and turn it over to you for an opening statement.
Thanks, Derek. You had to remind me of that 2011 game, but that was a heck of a game, and I'm sure everybody here loved watching that one. So anyway, thank you for having us. This is a phenomenal experience. We're super pumped to be here. At the end of the day, you know, there's high expectations with what we do, and our players are appreciative of the opportunity that we have. And so to play the University of Washington and all that they've accomplished this season, and a team that, you know, I'm watching the tape, man, a couple of plays here or there, they're in the college football playoff. So the reality of it is, you know, this is a great challenge for us, and great bowl game, great opportunity, and appreciative of the opportunity. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Coach Sarkisian. Now let's talk to the University of Washington head coach, Kalen DeBoer.
All right. Thank you. First of all, it's great to be here, and I know our team is excited. Can't wait to take part in the Alamo Bowl. And, Coach Sark, and he's got some history with UW, as he heard. Appreciative of, his part is in our history. And looking forward to the great challenge to play UT. We know they've had, kind of as you look at their schedule and their season, they've had some great wins and continue to seem to be projecting onward and upward. And so looking forward to the great challenge.
Thank you, coaches. If you're in the room, you raise your hand and one of the mic holders will come to you. We'll also do off the chat as well as social media using hashtag Valero Alamo Bowl. First question in the front.
Michael Penix fairly well. How would you say he compares with the four quarterback finalists for the Heisman Trophy?
I haven't had a chance to see all of them a lot, but I do know what Michael does, and he does in a high level, and being around college football for many years, he does it as good as anyone I've ever seen. You know, his ability to be accurate. He's got a cannon for an arm. He's a great leader, great person, high character guy, who came in and instantly brought life to our team. And, you know, our stadium became electric because of the big plays he's made. And so, you know, taking an offense that was near the bottom of FBS a year ago, and pretty much with everyone else around him, for the most part, being the same people, to be one of the top two offenses in the country in most categories, you know, a lot of that credit is, you know, due to what Michael's done for us. Yeah, we're pretty fired up about that. So he had threw us for a little surprise on Sunday after our team banquet. Had a video prepared and made the announcement to our team and many you know, parents that were there as well. And so we're excited about the future. It certainly got our momentum going for next year. But you know, we still got work to do this year, and we want to close out this this season and try to get that 11th win.
Albert, front right.
Sark, just how is it prioritizing everything right now between looking ahead to a bowl game, the transfer portal, in-home visits, just everything that's on your plate right now? How do you prioritize?
Well, I think at the end of the day, it's about, like you said, prioritizing. It's what are you doing today? Today we happen to be here for this, you know, for this press conference, and then you go on to doing your home visits, and then you get ready for practice tomorrow. So you just go through it. And I think, you know, at the end of the day, like, our players understand that, you know, that we dive into what we need to dive into, and we go according to the process of what's expected of us. So that's what we do. You know, I wish I could say it more eloquently, but that's exactly what happens. You just handle what's in front of you, and then you go tackle it.
Let's go front row and then chat.
Coach Sarkisian, I do have to ask, is you know Bijan is a guy who has a lot of options. Is he going to be participating in bowl practices, and do you anticipate him playing in the game? And the same goes for Roshan. Will he be healthy enough to go in the game?
Well, I think all those things, when you talk about the players and who's playing, who's not, I think those are all things that we have to work ourselves through. You know, hey, Bijan's got a lot of things to work himself through, like, do I lead to go to the NFL? Do I not? Do I practice? Do I not? Roshan, same thing. So, you know, we work with our players kind of day to day. Well, what do they need? What do they need from us to be the most productive players that they can be? Awesome human beings. Like, these guys are unbelievable human beings. So we just try to support them the best we can. And Bijan, he loves the University of Texas. It's not like something like he loves it. He loves this place. And so for him to decide of, do I leave early to go to the NFL or not? Man, that is a tough decision. That's heavy on anybody. So we try to help him, support him the best we can.
Question in the back.
Dave Mahler from KJR Radio Seattle would like to ask Coach Sark, how do you think you've evolved as a coach since you've left UW, and also to reflect on your time at Washington?
So my time at Washington was one that I'll never forget. Special time, special place. That place was incredible. The fan base was incredible. I don't take it lightly. You know, you evolve as a coach, obviously, as you go through all of it. And in the end, man, you hope you leave a place better than what you found it. And I think that we did that. Coach DeBoer has done a fantastic job with that program. But in the end, it's like, man, do I think it was better than when it was, but when I got there? Yeah, I think so. And I'm appreciative of all the people there. You know, they're great people at the University of Washington, and much respect for everybody there.
Thank you. Other questions? We had a social media question for Coach DeBoer. Talk about the ups and downs. You had a 4-0 start, then an 0-2, and now a 6 wins in a row. Anything after that second loss that, you know, Was the locker room worried? Tell me how you got that to get on the streak.
Yeah, I think after the second loss, fortunately, and I guess unfortunately, we were in a time where our health was certainly a big issue, and a couple positions in particular, and we've gotten through it. We've lost some guys for the year that were playing then, but you know, we've been able to at least sustain, a positive vibe through all of it, and our resiliency of our guys, I think, really showed up, you know, in the last half of the season. And one game at a time, I think we really understood how to play team football, how to trust and believe in each other. And as the year's gone on, we've really gained a lot of confidence that when you know, times are tough, you know, we'll pull through. And you know, those critical moments that we've had, especially in the month of November, you know, that's exactly what we did. So, you know, just I think a lot of it had to do with some injuries we were going through in the first half of the season, and it kind of came to a head. But I credit our guys. They stuck together.
Front row.
Coach, how much will you get at Sarkisian? How much will you get the young guys get an opportunity to participate in bowl practices before you start kind of zeroing in? And also, can you maybe speak to Malik Murphy with no Hudson Card there? Does he kind of move into that number two spot? And what do you kind of looking for him as well?
Yeah, I think this is a great point. You know, early on in bowl prep, yeah, a lot of young guys getting a lot of reps. You know, as many opportunities we can give them to prepare. And to show how the growth that they have, and Malik is a great example of that. The idea that, you know, now you're the number two, and what do you need to do, and how do you need to do it, and how do you go about your business? It's a great opportunity for him. So at the end of the day, yeah, a lot of work goes into it, and we'll see how far they get. You know, and you never know until their number gets called. But we try to do all we can to get them prepared.
Front.
Sark, I know you mentioned watching the tape on Washington, just some of your initial impressions from the early study you've done.
Score a lot of points. These guys, they score a lot of points. They throw it around, man. Wish I could clinic with Coach DeBoard, but Michael Penix, those receivers, they do a heck of a job. Their ability to rush the passer defensively and create havoc on the quarterback or issues, but they can score. They score on everybody. It doesn't matter the helmet. Doesn't matter who they're playing. They go score, and gotta be prepared to make sure you're playing four quarters and score collectively against them, because they can do it at a high level.
For Caitlin and Steve, this is a crazy time of year. It's gotten a little crazier, obviously. Are either of you, Caitlin, Steve, in favor of an August signing day? And anything you would do to tweak the whole transfer portal window or dates or whatever?
I was going to turn and look at him, but I guess I haven't really thought too much about the August signing day piece. I think that you just try to adjust with whatever comes your way. And it is a crazy time right now. There's no doubt. We're flying around, mostly on the West Coast, but around the country, and trying to, get back for bowl practices. You mix in finals and a lot of other things that are happening. There's a lot, but I do think that the early signing date we have has a lot of benefits that have helped us understand, where our team roster is at, and transfer portal window we're in now. I think, it can always be adjusted and tweaked, and there'll be lessons learned through it all. I think as just a coach in the coaching profession, we need to continue to work together to help make it better, better for our student athletes, to help them navigate through all of it. And I think that's, what we'll continue to do is live and learn and make it better.
Do you want an answer?
I do want
you. I think this. I think that we're in a unique time of college football. And, we as head coaches fight our tail off to put our teams in the best position to be successful. And then the reality of it is, it's unique, it's different, it's new, and how do you navigate all this? And so you take it day by day, as Coach just said, like literally day by day, how are we going to navigate today? And you know, I think you try to surround yourself with good people that want to do it the right way, and then you try to recruit the best players that you can to fit your program. But it is unique, man. It is different for sure.
Would you change either another August signing date or change the portal window?
I don't know. I have no idea. I don't know. I'm just trying to deal with what we got now.
Are the conversations, Coach Sarkisian, are the conversations that you said you'd have with players about their future, are those complete now that you're starting bowl practices about portal, NFL, that type of thing?
No, I think those conversations are ongoing. You know, we got players with real decisions to make and understandable. You know, I was waiting for the highlight video of one of our players to say he was coming back, but we didn't get that as fortunate as Washington did. But the reality of it is, you know, you just work with the players. Like, it's ongoing, you know. I mean, I wish I could tell you guys, like, man, everything is perfect, everything is good. It's not. Like, we are in this process of working with our players every day to help them be the best that they can be, going on to their future, getting their degree from the University of Texas. Like, it just is what it is, you know, and it's tough. And I feel for our players because they love this place, but yet they have a future to think about too. So that's how we go about it.
Question back first, then the front.
For Coach Sark, love the Pimpton offer, by the way. In your installation of your offense with Quinn, what are some signs of growth that you want to see from him from year one into year two? With these extra practices, are you going to be able to help him expedite that?
Well, I think at the end of the day, our ability to be functional passing the ball, right? We have not been good enough growth-wise from a program perspective of our ability to throw the ball down the field. And so that takes time, that takes effort, that takes work. And so that's, whether it's Quinn, whether it's wideouts, whether it's tight ends, like we've got to put in the work to make sure that we're growing in a positive direction to be the best program that we can be. And throwing the ball nowadays is like, I feel like that's the norm. It used to be running the ball back in the day, now it's throwing the ball. And so how do we get better at it? How do we continue and improve? And so, you know, that's what we're doing.
Okay, we'll go question in front, then a chat.
Coach Sark, about a year ago, you guys signed a lot of talented offensive linemen. I'm kind of, about a year later, I'm just talk about the growth of some of those young guys. Talk about the job maybe that Kyle Flood has done. I'm kind of curious about the growth. Kelvin Banks, obviously, Hudson, Cam Williams has played a lot, and maybe some of the guys that we haven't seen their growth behind the scenes.
Yeah, I love the development of our young offensive linemen. You know, anytime you start two true freshmen O-linemen, I think that, you know, not many people do that. So Kelvin and Cole, what they were able to do. But the development of DJ Campbell, incredible. You know, Cam Williams, incredible. Like, Coach Flood has done an awesome job. And, you know, he identified these guys and he's worked with them and we're reaping the benefits of it.
In the back.
Coach Sarkisian, Terry Middleton from Horns Illustrated asking, can you talk about the impact of being in a bowl game has on younger players as they look forward to their next season?
Well, I think in the end, being in a bowl game is a great opportunity. We're playing a heck of a team, man. University of Washington is a top 10 opponent, and we've got a great opportunity ahead of us. It's going to take everybody dialing in to what we need to do. But it's a great challenge for sure. So we got to make sure we're prepared, we're focused, and we're doing the things necessary to perform.
Front.
Coach DeBoer, have you talked with, I know Jalen Polk's from Texas, and he may get matched up on a high school teammate. Have you been able to talk to him about that matchup playing at home and maybe playing against Jaron Thompson like at Lufkin High?
We haven't had a chance to talk specifically about that, but I do know when I came into the facility The team was stretching, and I made the announcement of where we were playing and who we were playing, and Jalen Polk's eyes perked up, and the grin was from ear to ear, and he's excited, just as a few of our other guys are as well, of coming, you know, back to their home here in Texas and getting a chance to play a game. So, you know, my eyes went immediately to Jalen Polk in particular because I knew he'd be pretty fired up.
In the middle.
Yeah, Caitlin, how will USC and UCLA's departure affect the Pac-12 strength going forward, and how is Deion going to shake up your league?
That's loaded right there. hey, you know, I think, you know, in a time where everything's just so fluid, you know, from you're talking about teams leaving and coaches coming in, I think, you know, we're just always trying to make our league stronger. And, you know, that's two great programs that have a lot of history in the Pac-12. And so certainly doesn't go, you know, unnoticed and something that, you know, we'll have to navigate and work through as a conference. But, you know, I feel like the strength of who we are, and not just a conference, but University of Washington, will continue to thrive and continue to, you know, keep it head in the right direction. And then, you know, certainly Coach Prime, I guess I haven't met him in person, but Coach Prime is coming into the league and, you know, going to continue to make that program there at Colorado stronger and add value to our league and continue to, you know, be a challenge, you know, each and every week. Now, you know, every team, you know, you got to bring your best, and that will be the case with Colorado.
Question front, and then the last question will be on chat.
Caitlin, I'm not sure how much you and your staff have had a chance to watch Texas yet, but just early video you've watched, early impressions you and your staff have of Texas.
Yeah, I know the staff has started to pour into the film, been on the road recruiting a lot and glanced a little bit, but I think probably the biggest thing is just a balanced team, offensively, defensively, finding ways to win, looking at, you know, just the teams they've played and the wins, the you know, and even a couple of close losses. You know that that strength of the team, you know, that it's in there, and you know, we know we're gonna have to bring our best to find a way to meet the challenge that's presented by UT here, you know, in the Alamo Bowl.
All right, final question via chat.
Back left. Yep. Kim Grinnells says, 123 points scored in Sark's last Alamo Bowl appearance. Any chance we see the same offensive output?
This is for me. I'll never forget watching RG3 and that whole crew. That's a great game, you know, and I think that's what the beauty of the Alamo Bowl is. It's like, you know, I know we're not a New Year's Six game, but, man, to get two top 20 teams battling at a high level on a national stage, I mean, this is what it's about. So, great opportunity for us, University of Texas, great opportunity, I'm sure, for Coach DeBoer and his program at the University of Washington. And what a deal for the Alamo Bowl, like, to get these two teams. Are you kidding me? So, fire it up. It's going to be great.
It's the NFL offseason, but on Pick 6, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network, the football season never stops. Hosts Will Brinson, John Breach, and Tyler Sullivan are joined by analysts like Brady Quinn, Leslie Deuceable, Katie Mox, and RJ White to keep you in the loop on everything happening around the league. Whether it's free agents signing with new teams, the all-important NFL draft, or schedule release day, Pick 6 has you covered. As the face of the league changes with every team move and player pickup this spring, Pick 6 is a must listen. Download and follow on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, the Odyssey app, and anywhere podcasts are found.
From the world of Sonic the Hedgehog, a new hero arrives.
I am
ready. Is there anyone stronger?
No.
Tougher?
No.
Funnier?
I do not make jokes. I make warriors.
Knuckles, April 26th on Paramount+.
Yes!